continuing our conversation, road rage is not only a traffic issue. Believe it or not, it's also a psychological issue. Experts say that many aggressive driving incidents are driven by stress, frustration, emotional overload, where ordinary situations on the road can quickly trigger disproportionate actions. Clinical psychologists argue that a traffic environment often bring out deeper behavioral responses, including anger, impulse control challenges, and stress responses that people may not have even been aware of. Joining us on the line for an important perspective, clinical psychologist Rafiq Lockhart. Rafiq, assalamu alaikum. Shukran so much for your time.
Wa alaikum salam. Always a pleasure.
Why is it that we're so angry on the roads?
So here's the thing, okay, firstly, all of us potentially, including me, have at some point had the urge to jump out and beat the hell out of somebody else on the road, okay? This is the urge that happens. It happens, right? So firstly, I think that's the first thing, is that any one of us potentially could do this. It's not a particular thing. Secondly, there's context, right? So if you look at countries that have the lowest road rage, it's Sweden, it's Norway, it's Singapore, it's Finland. So I don't know why. Those are low-stress countries. Low-stress countries with high law enforcement, okay, firstly. I think that is important. South Africa, it's not a judgment, but we have a very high road rage issue. So it's not about bad driving. It's about what's happening inside the driver long before the incident, okay, long before we get there. In the car, okay, it's sitting there. There's a lot of stuff going on. We stress, financial stress. We had a fight with our spouse. We have a whole lot of things. And then somebody cuts in front of us. And in that moment, an important thing psychologically happens is that our brain immediately responds to, this is a threat, this is disrespect. And there's a part of our brain called the reptilian brain, or what we commonly know as the fight or flight brain. And in that moment, our logic brain switches off, and our fight-or-flight brain switches on. So it could be a small thing externally, but internally it's one more thing added on. And in that moment, our brain switches off, our reptilian brain switches on, and then we're tempted to jump out of the car. In fact, as we're talking, I can hear somebody hooting. They're hooting incessantly for at least 25 seconds. Now, one of two things can happen. The guy who's being hooted at, it's either going to jump out of the car and somebody's going to get shot, or there's going to be a fight. Because one of two things is going to happen. This guy hasn't got off the hooter for 25 seconds. Now, either he's feeling incensed because this person cut in front of him, or the person stopped, or whatever it is. And the person who's being hooted at is either going to jump out of the car and there's going to be a confrontation and somebody's going to get shot, or somebody's going to get stabbed, somebody's going to have a fight. Or the person, I'll talk about how to manage that. But right now, I'm already panicking about what might be happening. The other person is not stopping eating. Right. So the thing about it is that the moment this happens, keep in mind, please, that it's a whole lot of other stuff going on in our brain. So you're right to say it's not just about anger, it's about psychological. So road rage is where our brain gets rapidly emotionally hijacked. The thinking part switches off, our emotional survival system takes over, and our brain sees whatever's happening as an attack on us, okay, a disrespect to us, and the driver becomes the enemy in that moment. And in that moment, people don't think, they react. So it is also, when you're sitting in the car, you don't see a person, you see a vehicle, so this creates emotional distance. It's easier to shout at the car than at a human being. So the thing that causes it the most is the perceived injustice. That's the biggest trigger. People sit there thinking, how dare he behave like this? Who the hell does he think he is? He thinks he's more important than me. I'll show him. Right. And at that point, it escalates really fast. I have a daughter, okay, who recently got a driving license. She's a great driver. She's got that. But she's constantly telling me about how she has right of way. And I say to her, my darling, you want to be right or you want to be dead? Do you want to be right or you want to end up in hospital? Which one is it? And she says, no, but I have a right of way. That's true. We do have a right of way. But when we react to that, the right of way doesn't help us at all. It doesn't help us at all. Okay, we feel disrespected, firstly. No. Also, there's a high level of perceived unfairness, not perceived, but unfairness in South Africa. Okay, we see powerful people getting away with things, the politicians, the big criminals. And so as a little person, you know, you now feel this is my chance to get some kind of justice back. It's not worth it. I mean, I think about that Eid day, somebody was hooting at me, also something happened, and I was going to get out of the car. Even me, with all my skills and all my knowledge, I was stressed where we were late to get to the visiting, right? And my wife said to me, you want to have Eid or you want to be in hospital? Mm. And at that point, okay, my brain went back to don't be an idiot. But the thing is that it's not done on purpose a lot of the time. I think that's important for our listeners to understand. It's just this very rapid emotional hijacking. And it already starts long before we get into the car. So when we disrespect it, or we see somebody getting away with something, they're driving on the wrong side of the road, that whole thing about injustice. I mean, we feel the need, okay, to right the injustice.
Mm.
And that's where the trick is. So then we chase, we block, we got out of the car, we have guns if we have them, physical confrontation. So importantly, you're making a permanent decision in a temporary emotional state. I'll say that again. We are making a permanent decision in a temporary emotional state. And once that line is crossed, there's often no way to rewind it.
Mm. I want perhaps you to just touch on influence, particularly of passengers.
Yeah.
Because often the driver is not the one to immediately react to an action by another driver. It's either provoked by a passenger, someone else in the vehicle, or someone else in the vehicle responding, and the driver then being forced to react as well. And I think quite often that is the case as well.
I think you're raising a really important point. I had an issue with a taxi some while ago, and I stopped next to him to chat. I said, "You know, I said, bro, why are you driving so bad?" He said, "It's not me. They're putting me under pressure to stop wherever I want to. If I don't, they shout at me." So you're right about that point. But the thing is that if you're the driver, you are the boss of that car. So I think that's the first important thing. Okay, you have to take control. So when people, your passengers, if that's happening, you say to them, listen, just cool, I got this. Cool down, I got this. Okay, don't get out of the car, just sit down quietly. So you do have to take control when somebody else is losing it because they feel disrespected or they feel that we need to show this person who the heck do they think they are, right? At that point, the driver, so when you have the driver losing it and the passenger losing it together, you can see how bad. And also the person who, if you jump out of the car, the person seeing two guys coming to them get immediately threatened. They're also going to fight or flight. And then they feel justified to protect themselves. And if they have a gun, they're going to pull out the gun. Or they're going to run you over. And because in their brain, their survival is also threatened. So the moment you jump out of the car, the person that you're going towards feels threatened. They feel they have a right to defend themselves, whether that means driving you over or shooting you. Right? So these are all, I mean, and this is a wonderful topic, and I think it's important because South Africans, no judgment to us, but if you look at countries where road rage is the highest, it's countries with high stress and low enforcement. Countries that have the lowest road rage have low stress and they have high law enforcement. So there's a difference. So every person listening to this conversation, I think we need to remember that no argument on the road is worth your life, is worth somebody else's life, or the trauma of children watching it.
Yeah.
I have a good friend, his daughter came to me and said, please can you talk to my dad? I said, why? And she's like 9, and she said, I can't sit with him, Uncle Rafiq, I can't sit with him. It is so stressful for me every morning, I almost wet myself. He is just so angry on the road. Anybody, and he hoots, he shouts, he bangs on the steering wheel. Says, please talk to him. I can't let him take me to school anymore.
Mm.
And I thought, you know, this is what we're doing, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, and just watching that video of what happened in Johannesburg, and I genuinely would not encourage our listeners to go and view it. I mean, watching what looks to be an 8-9-year-old boy trying to do CPR on his father is not an image that I think as South Africans we are used to seeing. And so you speak about the impact that it has on those around us. That certainly, I think, sort of painted the realistic picture of what often happens on the roads, and it's just unfortunate that in that particular instance in Johannesburg, it resulted in the loss of life.
But here's the thing: I think everybody should watch that video, okay? Because it immediately goes into your brain. This is the outcome. Okay, so it's a visual reminder of how like a small incident starts with how dare you drive like that with. If only I hadn't behaved like that.
Mm.
So I slightly disagree. I think everybody should watch the video and maybe get a little traumatized by it and then realize how easy it is to get there. Okay, so that acts as a brakes in your brain.
Mm.
Remember, road rage is not about bad driving. It's about poor emotional regulation. People don't explode because of the incident. They explode because of what they're already carrying inside. And on the road, if somebody behaves badly, our brain responds as disrespect. And then, okay, our reptilian brain takes over. And that's when we then react. So you do need something to be able to keep you in that intelligent state. And that's where a passenger can help or make it worse. And if there's no passenger, that's when you have to think, okay, is this worth it? Am I going to get on the life? And I think that's what I want to leave people with. Is when you get in the road in the morning, your only goal is, I need to get to work alive, I need to come home alive, the family would need me, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it, but it is very hard sometimes. Obviously, I don't say that like it's a simple thing, but if you are prone to regular road rage, like the friend of mine, I'm going to refer him to therapy, he needs help. His daughter is traumatized, and the thing is that you can get help. So if you are a regular road rager, I'll use that word, okay, RRR, regular road rager, triple R, okay, go and get, there's a therapy called brain working recursive therapy. Find a therapist that can put an app in your brain very quickly, but that helps you to not get triggered into this, let's call it crazy response. But we're not judging people. We must understand what's happening inside the brain. It is important to understand that. And any of us are prone to that. I think that's the thing. It's easy to think out other people. Under the right conditions, any of us can be triggered into this behavior. The main thing is that we feel this disrespect. And we think, how dare you? And oh, you're not going to get away with that. Oh, no. You're not getting away with that, dude. And that, the moment we think like that. So I keep telling my daughter, say to her, You want to be right, or you want to end up in ICU? Which one is it?
Mm.
I'm helping that she applies that rule more and more and more. And you can, you know, just if somebody's hooting at you, put the music on. Just recite if you want to. It doesn't really matter. You know, don't actually respond to the trigger behind you. We don't know what the other person is going through.